Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the words of the hymn that we opened tonight. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And O God, I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou will truly write thy word tonight upon our hearts. Help me to be faithful in the preaching of thy truth. Help me to exalt none but the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that the church can't save and sacraments can't save, but we bless thee, Jesus can. He's the Savior of the soul. And to this end, I pray that thou wilt give me that fresh oil and anointing of thy Holy Spirit. Empty me of sin and self, and Lord, may everything that is said and done tonight glorify the name of Jesus. Cover me afresh in the blood, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. In the 4th and 5th chapter of the book of Mark's Gospel, we see the Lord Jesus Christ manifesting his mighty power. We find in the chapter 4, the Lord Jesus Christ has had a time of teaching from the ship to the people that had gathered around. There were so many that he entered into the ship and he taught them. And many parables are recorded in that 4th chapter that the Lord Jesus Christ had spoken unto the people. And when the Lord Jesus Christ had concluded his long day of ministry, we find that the Savior then sent the multitude away. And then he told his disciples to take him to the other side. Verse number 35 of chapter 4, it says, "And the same day when the even was come, Jesus saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." Now, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't tell them the purpose of their visit. But the Lord Jesus Christ knew exactly why he was instructing them to take him to the other side. Because the Lord Jesus Christ knew that there was a needy soul that needed redemption, that needed pardon, that needed deliverance, that needed cleansing. Now, when the Lord Jesus and the disciples were crossing the Sea of Galilee, we find that there suddenly came a storm into the midst of that, a great storm, verse 37 says, a storm of the wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And here were experienced fishermen, some of them, and yet we find that they were afraid. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he was lying there in the hinder part of the ship, and the Lord Jesus had laid down his head upon the pillow. Here we see the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ goes over to sleep, and the disciples come to him. They're all worked up about the situation because they felt that they were about to be, the boat was about to capsize, and they shake the master and say, "Master, do you not care that we perish?" Imagine charging Jesus Christ. "Master, do you not care? Carest not that we perish?" Let me tell you, my dear friend, when you sail with the Lord Jesus Christ, you may face many a storm. But when the Savior is on board, you'll never suffer shipwreck. And there wasn't a possibility for them to sink or to perish. Do you remember what John 3:16 says? "Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And there was not a possibility of them perishing. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he simply arose and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, "Peace be still." The wind ceased. It's a great calm. You see, he's the master of the deep. Child of God, can I tell you this? When you're traveling at the command of Christ to do something, no matter how great the storm, thank God he'll bring you through. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ had said to his disciples, "Let us pass over onto the other side." He didn't say you're going to perish in the midst of the water. He said you're going to the other side. Surely that was all he needed. A word from the Lord. Friend, there's not a possibility. There's not a possibility of one of God's children ever perishing, no matter how great the storm. Because thank God he gives unto his people eternal life, and they shall never perish. Thank God we're secure. So rejoice in the Lord tonight. And many of God's people are going through storms. But thank God he'll bring you through. What did the psalmist say? In Psalm 23, he says, "Yea, though I walk..." Listen, even though it be death itself, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," he said, "I will fear no evil, because, Lord, thou art with me." Even though it's it. Even though I pass through the valley. Notice, pass through. He doesn't leave you in the midst of it. Praise God, he brings you right through. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he had been lying there, and he was fast asleep. And the disciples, they were all distraught, and they were all worried. I remember hearing about a plane ride. And it was going to get very bumpy. And the captain, he spoke from the deck there. And he said to them, he said, "You know, we're going to go through a storm. And it's going to get very bumpy. And they're going to shake." And so they told the attendants to take back the things that had been served to the people. And because the plane was going to roll. You know, whenever the old plane, and I've been there, and the plane went up and down and seemed to go to every side, and to tell you the truth, you just don't know what's going to happen next. And there they were, and everyone was getting all excited, but there was one little girl, and she was sitting there, and she was reading a book the whole time, and my, the plane was going down, it was going to the side, it was going over, and my, she was sitting there, as calm as anything, just reading the book. Whenever the plane finally landed, they went to that little girl and they said to her, "Tell me, listen, little girl, tell me, why was it that you were so calm?" And the wee girl with a smile on her face just looked up and she said, "Mister, my daddy is the pilot and he's taking me home." Child of God, let me tell you, listen to me. No matter what you have to face this week, if you're saved, your Heavenly Father's the pilot. And he's going to take you home. You'll arrive safe. No matter how great the storm. Hallelujah. Now the Lord Jesus Christ goes over to the other side. We come to chapter 5, and we find that the Lord Jesus Christ is confronted by another situation. It says in verse number 2, "And when Jesus was come," you see, they had been passing through the night, they'd been sailing in the darkness, and now it's coming near the dawn. "And as they land at the other side in the country of the Gadarenes," and the Lord Jesus and his disciples are stepping out of that ship, the Bible says when they were come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Immediately there met him. They had come through a storm, and immediately there met him a man that had a storm inside. It wasn't around him, the storm was inside. And maybe there's someone here tonight, and nobody can see, because let me tell you, behind many a smiling face, there can be a broken heart. And nobody can see what storm you're going through, but tonight you could be going through a great storm. And it's not something that's around you, friend, but there's a storm inside. There's an angry storm. And the Lord Jesus Christ was met by a man. The Savior, having passed through the storm, met a man in the midst of his storm. Inside. Interesting thing is this. That was the one that Jesus Christ was willing to go through the storm for. It was all for him. Now I want to tell you tonight, dear unsaved person, the Lord Jesus Christ went through the mighty storm at Calvary. And there upon the cross of Calvary, God's Son laid down his life a ransom. And on the cross he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What a storm. Tell me, why did he do it? For the likes of me. For you and me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now let's look quickly. There are three things I want you to notice. First of all, there's the madman. The madman. Because the Bible says there met him out of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Notice first of all his dwelling. Where was he living? Where did he come from, friend? The Bible says he had his dwelling among the tombs, among the dead. And dear unsaved person, I want you to realize tonight that as far as God is concerned, that's a picture of you, because that's where you have your dwelling. Oh, it may not be your lovely house dwelling, but I'm talking about spiritually. That's where you are. Dead. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, Paul is writing to the church there, and he says, and you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead. Dead in trespasses and sin. Here was a man, and he made his dwelling among the dead. He didn't spend some time among the tombs, my friend. He made his dwelling among the tombs. That's where he dwelt. That's where he was living. Dear sinner, that's exactly where you are. You are in your sin. You are dead in your trespasses and in sin. You might have physical life, but you're spiritually dead. I was at a funeral this afternoon. Young man of 33 went out in the morning to do his work, as he did every other day. He rang his mother around about near 12 o'clock because there was something that she was, something was left, being left at her house for him. He says, Mom, be sure to get that. After 1 o'clock, that parcel came to the house, and so the mother rang back to her son to tell him that she had got it, but he didn't answer. She couldn't understand. Why did he not answer? Because he always answered, if not immediately, just in a few minutes' time. And so she texted him and she sent him a little message. But he didn't answer. 5 minutes to two, the doorbell rang. Mother went to the door. Two police officers standing there to tell her that her son had an accident at work. She says, "How is he?" She says, "I'm sorry to tell you, he's dead." Solemn thing, friend, isn't it? Solemn thing to get that message that you're dead. Somebody that you love has died. And yet men and women are totally unconcerned, even though God says that by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And spiritually speaking, you're dead to God, sinner. You can dance across the floor, but you're dead in your trespasses and in your sin. There's no life in you spiritually, dead to God. And you're going out to the second death, to be eternally separated from God forever in a Christless hell, in a lost sinner's eternity. This man had his dwelling, the Bible says, among the tombs, among the dead. Tell me, was he happy there? No. Secondly, his desperation. Look at it. It says in verse number 3, no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains were plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And all was night and day. He was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. He wasn't happy. His life was dominated by the power of the devil himself. He had many demons. You see, there's one devil, and all his agents are the demons of hell. And this man was totally taken over by the devil and his demons. And they dominated his life. He was a slave to a sin. He had been driven out from his home, and now he's dwelling amongst the tombs. People tried to help him. Notice how they tried. He was so angry and so ferocious that they tried to tame him. They tried to put chains upon him. They tried to put fetters upon him. But my energized by the power of the demons of hell, he just tore them asunder. Isn't it amazing? He could tear the chains, he could tear the fetters asunder, but he couldn't tear the power of hell asunder, because he was bound by the devil. Maybe there's someone here tonight, and you're sinning, you're saying to me, "I'm my own master." You're nothing of the sort, sinner. You're under the power of Satan. The devil has bound you. The devil has fettered you. Listen, my friend, you won't forsake your sin. You won't turn from your sin. Why? Because you're under the domination. You're under the control of Satan himself. Now listen, people try to help him. Listen to me carefully. But all man's efforts weren't able to save him. And friend, that's true tonight. You can't save yourself, and neither can anybody else outside of Jesus. There's nobody can break the power of sin. I always remember a Saturday night, Sunday morning, as a young preacher, A thump coming to the window of our front door. In those early days, a man standing there in his booze, and I would open the door by 2 o'clock in the morning. He would stagger in to the hallway, and he would sit down in the kitchen. He would cry, and he said, "I've tried. Oh, preacher, I've tried, but look at me." Tim Ritter said, "I've tried the broken cisterns, Lord." Ah, dear friend, listen, you can try to save yourself, but you'll never be able to save yourself. You may try to break the chains, and you can make a little few changes in your life, but I'll tell you, the power of sin is something that you cannot deal with. You haven't the power to deal with sin's domination or Satan's domination. Here's his despondency, crying. The word there is to cry out harshly. It was like the sound of a wild animal, a shrieking, screaming wildly. Ah, oh, friend, let me tell you, there are certain pleasures of sin, but they don't last. Do you remember what Moses said? He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin, which were but for a season. And here's a man, friend, let me tell you, and he's driven out, and he's running up and down amongst the mountainside and in the tombs, and he's crying. The devil has nothing to offer him, and he takes the stones and he starts to cut himself. Because life means nothing anymore. I might as well die. And he cuts himself. And he cries. And people try to help him. But no use. The Lord Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life." But he said, "The devil, the thief, cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." And let me tell you, dear child, man or woman, boy or girl, let me say this to you, those who are listening to my voice tonight. Sin will take you further than you ever want to go. I do not believe that that man ever thought he would land there in the gutter. But that's where sin took him. His desperation, his despondency. But the Bible says when he saw Jesus, it says in verse number 6, afar off, he ran. And let me say this. That first running there, it says there met him. There met him, verse 2, out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was stepping out of that boat, that man had seen the Lord Jesus stepping out, or seen these people stepping out of the boat, and he ran to meet them. And my friend there, he was in a hostile manner. He was running because he was wanting to scatter them. He didn't want them near him. He ran in hostility, as if to fight them. And then it says in verse 6, but when he saw Jesus, he ran and he worshipped him. That brings me to the Master. Notice the Master and his presence. Jesus had no sooner stepped out of the boat, friend, then this man that couldn't be tamed, this man that was running amongst the tombs and crying and cutting himself, a hopeless soul, and immediately stops. And he falls down at the feet of Jesus. You know, Jesus came to where he was. There's an interesting thought, friend. There is nothing recorded in the Word of God. Listen to me carefully. There is nothing recorded in the Scriptures of anything else that Jesus did at Gadara. There is nothing recorded. It doesn't say that the Savior taught in the synagogue. It doesn't say the Savior ever fed the multitude. It doesn't say the Lord Jesus ever healed the sick. But he came through the storm for that one soul. It was all for him. And praise God tonight. I don't know what the madman knew about the Lord Jesus Christ, but I can tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ knew all about him. And Jesus came with one mission for him. I pray, if there's someone saved in this meeting tonight, you're not here by chance. Let me tell you, there was no accident that that man was just there. It was no accident that the Lord Jesus Christ crossed that sea in the storm. No, no. It was by divine appointment, not accident. And you're not here by chance tonight, or you're not listening in by chance. You're unsaved, so the Lord wants to meet with you. He's come for you. Notice not only his presence, notice his power. The man was filled. In actual fact, whenever he spoke, and the Lord Jesus said, the man said in verse number 7, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." What's he talking about? Jesus didn't come to torment him. My friend, he was tormented. But it wasn't the man that was speaking. Notice what it says in verse number 8. Jesus said unto him, "Come out of the man." Jesus was speaking to the demons, commanding, "Thou unclean spirit." And Jesus asked, "What is thy name?" And he answered, "My name is Legion, for we are many." It wasn't the man speaking. It was the devil through the vessel of the man. And let me tell you, friend, don't you think that can't happen? Because in my ministry, I faced a situation like that as well. A young girl that was tormented by the demons of hell. And God's people gathered together, and as we talked to her and spoke to her, I tell you, the devil would have done anything. She tried to actually kill herself, tried to choke herself. Rather than the devil letting her get deliverance from the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I asked her her name, it wasn't a girl answered me at all. It was a man, and he called himself Lucifer. But thank God that night she was delivered. She was gloriously saved and walking with God. But the devil tried to kill her. What did the demon say? What have I to do with thee, Jesus, our Son of God? Let me tell you, the demons of hell are not atheists. They know exactly who Jesus is. I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not, because they know that the day of their torment eternally is coming. And Jesus said, come out of the man. Man could do nothing for him. But praise God, Jesus did. I want to tell you tonight, Christ is the answer. I don't care the sin that binds you. I don't care, you say to me, preacher, but I've tried my best to break the habit and break the bondage that is in my life, and I cannot do it. I want to tell you, he breaks the power of cancel sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. Hallelujah. His blood avails for you and avails for me. Thank God with the word of his power. Word of his power. You know, the old demons said to the Lord Jesus Christ, they didn't want to go down into the deep. The word there is abyss. Didn't want the Lord to send them to hell. And so they said, let us enter into this way. The Lord Jesus, I mean, they had to ask him. Why? Because he's the Lord. He's master. He can break every fetter. He can set you free. And friend, notice thirdly and lastly the miracle. Thank God whenever that happened. It says those that were looking after the swine, they fled, verse 14, and told it in the city and in the country, and they came out to see what it was that was done. Notice verse 15, the conversion. And they come to see Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had legion. Notice, not to see the one who is, but who was. Let me tell you, sinner. One moment you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, you're on your way to hell, but you meet the Savior and put your faith and trust in his redeeming blood and call upon the Lord to save you. That moment, hallelujah, that moment, you become a child of God. You're changed. And here's this man's conversion. They came to see him. Him. Who had been chained by hell. Notice not only his conversion, notice his comfort. Because when they see him, he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. My, when the devil had him, he wasn't sitting. There was no peace. He was running and crying. Hopeless. And now he's sitting at Jesus' feet, at peace with God. That can happen to you tonight. That can happen in this very service. Thank God if you turn in repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon him to save you, thank God he will. And he'll give you a peace that passeth all understanding. His comfort. And then his clothing. Because remember, when Jesus found him, he was naked. But when they came to see him, he was sitting clothed. Clothed. Thank God the Savior clothes us. Because whenever we trust him, thank God he robes us in his righteousness. Thank God. The pure righteousness of Christ is reckoned, imputed to a sinner like me. a right standing before God, friend, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And then it says, he's in his right mind. Thank God, he's controlled. Sound mind in his right mind. Tell you how much he's not in his right mind, friend, because this man knows the place is not for me to be among the tombs anymore. And my, the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever the Savior was leaving, because the people said, listen, ask the Savior to leave. They didn't care about the broken man. They didn't care about the poor sinner. They wanted Jesus just to go. They're more concerned about their finances than they were about the soul of this poor man. And they asked Jesus to go. And the man said to the Lord Jesus, verse 18, it says, and when he was come into the ship, he that was possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. He says, Lord, I want to go with you. I want to go with you. I'm not staying in the tombs anymore. No longer in the dead house. But I want to follow thee. And Jesus said, go home. Notice, he had a home. There was a time this man had a home, but the devil drove him out. Bound and fettered by sin. Out there in the mountains, in the tomb. Cutting himself. And Jesus says, go home and tell your friends what great things the Lord hath done for thee. You know, that could be you tonight. Lord saves you. He'll change you completely. If any man be in Christ, listen, he's a new creature. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And Jesus said to him, go home. And tell them the great things the Lord had done for you. I remember the night my brother came home, the first one of the family. Little gospel mission. I come up to my mother's room. I was lying along the top of the bed as the baby of the family. My brother walked into the room and says, Mommy, I have something to tell you. What is it, son? Mommy, I got saved tonight. Wouldn't it be lovely if you went home, tell your family and friends tonight that you're saved? No longer a slave to sin. No longer bound and fettered by Satan. But he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Tell me, who made the difference? The Lord Jesus. Who can make the difference in your life? Who can make the difference in your home, your family, friend? Because the Lord started, my brother got saved, then my mother got saved, my three sisters got saved, I got saved, and last of all, my daddy got saved. And the Lord closed us in with him. Remember going across the fields and the farm singing, the tractors and trailers just going to bring in the hay. when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and the roll is called up yonder, we'll all be there. Tell me, are you saved tonight? Thank God you can. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight that thou art a God ready to pardon. We thank thee there's not a man, a woman, boy or girl listening to my voice tonight that their situation's too hard for thee to solve. There's not a sin that has bound and fettered them, but praise thy name, O God, you can break and set them free. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder, is there somebody listening to my voice right now? You say, preacher, I'm not saved. I go to church, I say my prayers, I read my Bible, I believe there is a God, but I'm not saved. All of those things may be good of themselves, but they'll never take you to heaven. Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder in the quietness of this service, is there someone who would say, preacher, in my heart, I know I'm not right with God. I'm not saved. But I'd love to be. I'm tired of my sin. I'm tired of the bondage of my sin. I want freedom. Thank God Jesus can set you free. Is there a backslider? You've wandered away from tonight, you're coming home. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed and God's people are praying, the stillness and quietness of this, the house of God, if there's one tonight in this gathering, you say, preacher, I'd love to be saved or I'd love to be restored. Get back to the place of blessing with God. Preacher, lead me to Christ. Lead me back to the Lord. I wonder, as every head is bowed and eyes closed, would you just slip that hand above your head? Indicate that desire. Preacher, lead me to Christ. Along to know God's peace within my soul. Lead me to Jesus. If you'd like to speak to me afterwards, I'm here as God's servant. We'll open the Word of God. We'll show you from the book. God's book. The Bible. God's way of salvation. Heavenly Father, bless thy word to our hearts. For Jesus' sake. Amen. One verse of the hymn, the final hymn tonight. Just one verse as we close. Is there a heart that's waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear that loud message proclaiming Jesus. He's passing this way. Don't let him pass, friend. Come.